I have a friend in London who's a rare bookkeeper. When I'm in London, I'm usually able to contrive a situation where he has to have some errand out. And so then I'm left alone for hours inside this multiple concentric circles of security. And I can open up all the cases and pour through this stuff. And it's astonishing. I mean, the cul-de-sac into which the human mind wanders, the Phlogiston theory, the Chaldean oracle, the Lunar Tower, the Hollow Earth thing, and then all this literature of exploration. I mean, the stratigraphy of human experiences, maps and machines and diaries and blueprints. And out of all this, there's the impact. There's a kind of attendance, a kind of sense of order. Han does.
Sex and drugs and rock and roll, I mean, these things seem to be pretty intimately linked. In other words, acoustical driving, sexual license, and pharmacological disruption of ordinary brain states. This is what religion was about for the first couple of million years. And then, you know, beady-eyed eunuchs got a hold of it. Weasels, I mean, people you wouldn't leave alone with your chicken to charge. And have been in charge ever since. So.
Electronic technology, I think, is to encourage diversity. I think that
you know, this is a favorite beef of mine, but I think it profits people to go back and read Marshall McLuhan, that McLuhan was never assimilated. He was simply dismissed. At the same time that psychedelic drugs were suppressed, McLuhan ceased to be ever mentioned in the academy, and that he very, very brilliantly explained the impact of media on cultural dynamics. And by media, we mean any technology, from the screwdriver to LSD. Technologies change the societies that use them, always in ways that the society cannot anticipate and expect. And so I think computers are really driving a lot of this archaic tribalism. I mean, obviously. Anything else anybody wants to talk about before? Yeah. You mean in the Buddhist sense of enlightenment? Well, this sort of goes to this question which we've talked about in other, along other avenues of approach, which is the question, do psychedelics have anything to do with so-called spirituality? Enlightenment, well, there are different notions of what enlightenment is, first of all. I mean, there's a soft version, a kind of Protestant version, where people say, well, enlightenment is something which comes and goes from each of us many times a day. If we could but cling to it, we would know it. And it is, you know, our absent friend weaving in and out of ordinary experience. That's the soft version of enlightenment. But then, you know, there's a hard version of enlightenment which says, if a single sentient being attains enlightenment for a single nanosecond anywhere in the kaleidoscope of eternity, then all sentient beings will instantly be sucked into the presence of the parinirvana, and the illusion of space and time will collapse, and the Tathagata will be imminent, and so forth and so on. I sort of like the hard version, because it makes it easier to know when you're in the presence of it. It was, I don't know, I mean, this is an interesting question. You know, I suppose, that, I mean, they do, an Orthodox Buddhist of the hardcore sort, I think they're fairly contemptuous of psychedelicos, and what they would lay on us is that we are obsessed with samsara, that our love of the 10,000 things will forever stand between us and union with the undescribable, unutterable, Plotinian non-entity outside of all realms of description and anticipation and so forth and so on. Probably true. It's just that, you know, buying into that thing exists at all is a major step. And, you know, I'm willing to play the Pied Piper there. I'm interested in the 10,000 things. I mean, what thrills me are museums full of butterflies and libraries full of books and galleries full of paintings and parties full of women and just the multiplicity of things. And that's what psychedelics seem to celebrate.